end on a high note. Nebuchadnezzar making a decree that all the world would recognize the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I felt impressed this morning to continue about Nebuchadnezzar. That was in chapter 2. Pastor Wegar gave the message. I'm going to begin in chapter 3. In chapter 3, as in the book of Daniel. Book of Daniel, about 3/4 of the book of Daniel records different dreams and visions that involve trees and animals, beasts and images. And both his personal adventures and prophetic visions, Daniel shows God's guidance, his intervention, and power in the affairs of men. In other words, God is in control. He's a ruler in every situation. So that we don't need to worry. We don't need to fret. We need to have confidence in God. Now in chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar gives a testimony, not a praise report, but a testimony. A testimony of the experience that he had with God. When Nebuchadnezzar made that decree, many concluded that he was fully converted, that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because of the demonstration that was given in the fiery furnace, he made the statement that no other God could do that. That God would reign supreme in his life. But we find as we get into chapter 3, in Nebuchadnezzar's testimony, he reveals the fact that he was not fully converted. Sometimes we say things that we don't really mean. And our actions demonstrate that we didn't really mean what we said. So in chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, we find these words. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image. That should be chapter 4, I'm in now. Pardon me. Nebuchadnezzar, king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God has wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. It's always a good thing when God has done something special for you and in your life that brought about a closer relationship with him. Not just an increase in material blessings. Not just an increase in health condition. But your spirituality has moved to a different level. And your relationship with God, you have a closer connection with God. It's good to make it known. So Nebuchadnezzar says, I was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream. Keep in mind, he's a heathen king, but God is dealing with him. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Now, does that sound familiar? He had done this once before. And he's repeating the same mistake. Because he should have known that they didn't have the answer. But he goes at it a different way this time, because he reveals to them the dream. And they only have to give them the interpretation. Now those boys were smart enough not to break out with an answer, because they felt that the king may have been setting them up by giving them the interpretation. So if they made up something and the king had not had that dream, their heads were going to roll. They had just escaped the gallows because of Daniel and his compadres bringing him the dream and the interpretation. In verse 7, it says, then came in the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, devil always go first. But at last, Jesus shows up and shows out. But at last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of whom? Of my God, little g. In whom is the spirit of the holy God? Little g again. Huh? That lets us know that he's still hanging on to the old gods. And I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the musicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubles thee, flattering words, tell me the visions of my dream, of the dream I have seen, and the interpretation. Now he's asking Daniel once again to tell him what the dream is. He didn't ask the others to tell him what the dream is. They tell me what the dream I have seen and the interpretation. In verse 10, he says, were the visions of my head in my bed, I saw, and behold, a tree. What did he see? a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached where? Unto the heavens, and the sight thereof into the ends of the earth. If you have an opportunity to go out and take a look at the redwoods, it seems as if they're reaching up into heaven. This was not just an ordinary tree. It was not a redwood. One of the trees of Lebanon. And it says, as he describes it, he says, the leaves thereof are fair, and the fruit thereof much. And it was meat for all. It was food for all. The beasts of the field had shadows under it. The fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, cut down the tree, cut off its branches, shake off its leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let the portion be the beast of the grass of the earth. Let the heart be changed from a man. Let his mind be changed from a man, and let his mind or his heart be given unto him of a beast. For how long? For seven times over him. Now, we know according to Bible prophets, when we're talking about time, time is what? Time is 1 year. Time is a year. Seven times means 7 years. So, for 7 years over him, this matter is by decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent the living may know that the Most High God does what? Ruleth in the kingdom of men. Given, and he can give it to whomsoever he will, and sit it over it the basis of men. I had an experience on a job where I was having difficulty getting off on Sabbath. Anybody had that kind of experience? Yeah. And I had gone through a process. First thing they do, they call you in the office and they talk to you when you don't show up for work. Thank you. They called me in the office, they talked to me. By not showing up for work between the hours of sunset Friday and sunset Saturday. The next time I didn't show up, I received a written warning. The next time I didn't show up, I got suspended for 3 days. That next time I was supposed to get fired. So they called a meeting, set the tables up in a T, two tables across at the top,
I was on the end at the middle. They had about four or five of them across in front of me. And they began to try to dissect me and make me feel belittled, asking me what you gonna do. Going back out there to that bowling alley, mopping floors, we paying you a good salary, you got a family to take care of, and all those things that they were firing at me, different ones. I'm the only one sitting there at the end. Quiet. He said, look, we're going to give you one more chance. What I need now is to know who is the bishop in your church so I can write a letter. Well, he was of the Catholic persuasion, and he thought that I might make mention of the fact we didn't have a pastor at that time. But he could write a letter to a higher up that would give me permission. And this was the last step. So he wrote a letter up to the conference headquarters that was forwarded to Religious Liberty Department. They wrote a letter back telling them that the commandments were between the individual and God. It wasn't something that they could approve or disapprove. So they called me back in the office again. This time they had my wife and my father, and we had a pastor had come in, Elder Van Ronalds. All of them were meeting. And began to tell me, he said, tell me that we got some words back from your, letter back from your headquarters, and this is the last straw. Now, what are you going to do? Because if you don't show up again, you see, you're going to be terminated. And again, they reiterated, what are you going to do? Go back working at that bowling alley, mopping floors? And I just sit there looking at him. He said, what are you going to do? I said, look, I recognize I have an obligation to the company. I have an obligation to my family. I say, I recognize the company has invested in me and given me training. This I say, but my first obligation is to God. He turned red around the ears, folded the folder, and slammed it down on the table. He said, look, God is in heaven, but you down here. And that text. God of heaven rules in the affairs of men. Jumped into my mind. I didn't quote it. And he, in a loud voice and with indignation, he said, now, what are you going to do? My reply was, I think you know what I'm going to do. And he, all of a sudden, his demeanor changed. And he said, let's hope it doesn't happen that way. And to make a long story short, the God of heaven rules in the affairs of men. He doesn't make any difference whether it's a potentate on a throne or whether it's a boss on the job. God still rules. And a few months later, I heard the message was given to the God not to let that man back in the plant. It changed the locks on his office, and I never heard from him again. The God of heaven rules
in the affairs of men. And Nebuchadnezzar, in this dream, was given it so that he would come to the conclusion and recognize that the God of heaven rules in the affairs of men. Now, we have to have all kinds of experiences, and your experience is not mine. Your faith is not mine. God has to bring each of us step by step. We're on different rungs of the ladder. But I'm here to tell you that the God of heaven rules in the affairs of men. I said, I don't worry about whether Donald Trump's going to get to be president. Huh? The God of heaven rules in the affairs of men. And if he got to be president, he's going to do exactly what God tells him to do. Because he rules in the affairs of men. You can go back in the Bible and check out Balaam. On his way, and they tell him, Balaam, go down there and curse Israel. Huh? What did God do? Say, Balaam, you go ahead on down there. But you're going to say what I tell you to say. The God of heaven rules in the affairs of men. Balaam went down there and he opened his mouth. Instead of came out a cursing of Israel, he was pronouncing blessings upon Israel. So in verse 18, I'm reading this dream. Nebuchadnezzar have seen. Now, O Belteshazzar, the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able. Huh? Thou art able. That sound for me? In last week, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, our God is able. Now we have the same king is looking at Daniel. He said, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. King spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be for them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof thy enemies. They always have been haters. Look like you're doing good. They hate whispering about things they don't know about. Huh? Hate. Yeah. Notice what Belteshazzar answered and said. My lord, the dream be for them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof of thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, in the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the fields dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heavens had their habitation. It is thou, O king. Daniel 2, he was the head of gold. And so he decided he was going to go contrary to what God was saying and the interpretation. He was going to establish his kingdom forever by creating the whole statue of gold. But here again, he's saying that tree is you, O king. Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reaches unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let the portion be with the beast of the field till seven times or 7 years pass over him. This is the interpretation, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my Lord the King, that they shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen. And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know what? That the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whosoever he will. He's trying to teach the king the lesson. And we can glean some valuable lessons if we would only pick up the same thing. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be what? Sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. God does not chide us with punitive discipline. But in order to put and keep us on the right track, and once we learn the lesson, then it, whatever the situation is, will be removed. Verse 27 says, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto you. Daniel is saying, let me give you some advice. Break off thy sins by what? Righteousness. The king was not where he should have been in a spiritual way. I don't know about you, but I'm not where I ought to be in a spiritual way. Well, I'm striving. Say, but break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquity by showing mercy to whom? To the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon Nebuchadnezzar. Now, in the vernacular, what are you saying, king? You got to change what you're doing. You still jacking back and forth with those idol gods? You still not living a righteous life? You still not taking care of the poor as you ought? Then if you start to doing these things, then you can delay. God, all of God's warnings are only threatened. It will not happen if you make the change. Star Jones gave a quote that should last with me. She said, God will attempt to correct us privately. What did I say? God will attempt to correct us privately. But if we refuse, then God will rebuke us openly. Now, that's exactly what Daniel was telling the king. I'm giving you the interpretation. You put these things into action, and you shall continue to enjoy peace and tranquility. But if you don't, then God is going to make a spectacle out of you. So, in verse 29, we read these words. At the end of 12 months, how long? Evidently, he put forth some effort. As we all do, put forth the effort. But how long? In his situation, it was 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And then in verse 30, it says, the king spake and said, Is not this the great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Does that sound as if he is humbling himself? He has profited from the experience that he had and the advice that Daniel has given. He has flipped and gone back to thinking that I am in control. See? Verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee. Before he could complete the sentence, he was yet speaking, and the pronouncement was given that you have lost the kingdom. Huh? Verse 32, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Verse 33 says that the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs had grown like what? Eagle feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes where? And to heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High.
Escalane said, look, don't play with God. God plays too rough.
He gives us warning.
In the class this morning, we discussed in our lesson about Job wanting to know why. I stopped asking that. I don't ask why. I said, Lord, what do you want me to know from this experience? Huh? What are you trying to get across to me? Huh? And we all, I feel that we all need to be asking that question. Lord, what am I to learn from this experience? See? At the end
of the days. I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the name of the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth were reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army in heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and none can stay his hand and say unto him, what doest thou? Huh? Making a difference. God is God, and he does just what he wants to do when he gets ready to, and nobody can stop him. Huh? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Huh? The tree that was cut down was Nebuchadnezzar. Some of the medical people said that he had a disease called boiopathy, where the individual mind, something happens in his brains and he thinks that he's a cow. And he goes out in the field eating grass. Hey, don't make any difference. God said he was going to do it. You can name it what you want to. But he, in his testimony, there is no ambiguity in the statement that Nebuchadnezzar made. He said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those who walk in pride he is able to abate. Old friends of mine, I do you to recognize that we cannot continue to go contrary to what God has established and think we are going to get by with. How do we get by with? God sends us warning. He makes it plain to you through the power of the Holy Spirit, revealing to us, this is the way, walk you in it. Huh? Now you can, we can keep on keeping on. We're going to wind up with the Nebuchadnezzar. It is good when an individual can see their mistake. It is better when an individual can profit from the mistakes that they have made in the past. Oh, but it is best of all to profit from the mistakes of others. Nebuchadnezzar is a sterling example that the God of heaven rules in the affairs of men. So let us not trifle with God. Let us renew, take heed to the warning, and ask God to give us the power to overcome the defects of character in our lives, to walk in harmony with his precepts so that we will avoid all of the unpleasant things. recognize that the God of heaven rules in the affairs of men. Father in heaven, we thank you for the example of this healing heathen king, that you reveal the defects of his character in a dream and sent your servant to reveal to him exactly what his deficiencies are. We ask, Father, that you do the same for us. Reveal to us the deficiencies in our characters. But help us, Lord, to walk in harmony with your precepts and the leading, follow the leading and guiding of your Holy Spirit. If this is the desire of your heart, put aside every weight, every deficiency that is revealed to us by the unction and power of the Holy Spirit, won't you stand with me where we are, where you are? You recognize that the God of heaven rules in the affairs of men. That he rules in our lives. He's patient. He's long-suffering. But he will in no wise excuse the guilty. By his grace, and by his power. We pray, dear Lord, that each and every one of us we have made the necessary changes in our lives, that we will be a part of that blood-washed army that shall be saved throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Because we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake, we do pray. Amen.